So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
720 WGN, thanks for joining us. It is 249. Karen Conti's with us. She's our go-to whenever we have legal questions. She's from Conti and Dolan and, of course, has a weekend show on WGN. Karen, let's talk about this judge in Quincy. We actually had the father of the victim on when this all went down because I could not believe that he reversed his decision and let somebody out of jail. Tell everybody about this case and why he's now in the hot seat.
Well, my understanding is that this girl, who was about 18 when it happened, was sexually assaulted by a young man. And the case was taken to trial. It was a bench trial, meaning the judge decided it. The judge decided he was guilty. And then at sentencing, he reversed himself. And he said, because there's a mandatory minimum sentence, I am going to vacate my conviction because I don't believe that this warrants 4 years in jail, that he has served enough time already. He served, you know, some couple months in jail, and the judge reversed his decision. And in addition to that, he went on to kind of blame the parents for allowing the kids to drink alcohol. And I guess they were swimming in the pool in their undergarments. But the idea meaning that I just don't think this was such a bad crime, even though I found you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. It really is pretty outrageous.
Yeah, so he sentenced him, and that is the minimum, right? That, or it's mandatory, 4 years. And after 148 right. days, does a judge just decide, that's been weighing on my mind, I'm just going to say time served is good and let somebody out? How rare is that?
I've never seen that. And again, could a judge go light, or could a judge try to deviate from sentencing in some way that was creative but still within the law? Yes, I've seen that. But to actually vacate based upon the idea that he didn't want to apply the law. And unfortunately, judges don't get to decide what the law is. The law is what it is. And he, once he found that, beyond a reasonable doubt, he was required to give that sentence.
And so now the Illinois Judicial Inquiry Board, they investigate grievances against sitting judges. Interesting. This is not something I've really given thought to because, of course, we want to trust the people that are wearing the robe that are judging everyone. And what happens now with this case?
Well, very few judges are disciplined, Lisa. I mean, I just can count on like one hand in the last 20 years how many judges were actually removed for misconduct. And usually it's because they commit a crime outside the courtroom, or they join discriminatory organizations, or they use their position to enhance their own interests. Those are the things that you normally see. You just don't see the judges getting sanctioned because the judges have a lot of discretion in what they do. But this Judicial Inquiry Board and the Courts Commission, they're really interested in this case because, you know, there's all these rules about avoiding the appearance of impropriety. They are required to comply with the law. They have to act in a way that promotes the confidence and impartiality. And when you start victim blaming and blaming the parents for some guy's bad conduct and raping a woman, that really does not instill confidence, right? So, you know, they have a lot of tools in their chest. They can reprimand, they can suspend, and they can actually remove him from the bench. And it remains to be seen what's going to happen here.
It'll be interesting because sexual assault advocates and survivors were outraged by this. She was 16. She's 18 now. She decided to step forward and put a face to it and put a voice to it. And now we just wait. It could take months before we decide his fate. Not we, but they decide his fate, right?
And these cases take a long time. I've seen cases drag on for 6 or 7 years in the system. They're very overworked. The budget has been reduced, and they just have a lot of work to do in it. And these things, you know, they go on, and the judges want to, you know, continue it so they can continue to, you know, have their job and accumulate their pensions. And I understand that strategy, but this is a case, and you're right. I think sometimes we shine the light on something through media and through these groups that are advocating. This is a good thing for the system.
Okay, let's talk about the U.S. Supreme Court. Is it a good thing they finally decided to adopt a code of ethics? They've never previously had a code of ethics?
Isn't that just outrageous? It's almost impossible to think that every judge in every nook and cranny of this country is bound by some ethical code, right? Some judicial code that was written in their state, and they have, and the Supreme Court has not. And I think with all this attention on these justices taking expensive trips and having expensive donors give them all kinds of, mobile homes and pay for their mother's mortgage. I mean, that's just outrageous. When you're deciding the most important cases that affect people for centuries, we should have a better system. And I'm really happy that they're going to create one. And let's just hope that it's one that has a lot of teeth in it.
But isn't that they're still policing themselves because they're identifying what is ethical and what is not ethical?
Well, fox in the hen house, right? And, you know, one of the things that I think Dick Durbin wanted to impose was some sort of panel of justices or judges who are impartial. Maybe someone who sits, judges who sit in other places, will then look at some of these decisions. So if Clarence Thomas is not recusing himself, even though a donor has a case in front of him, then it would go to a panel, and the panel would decide it rather than the justices themselves. I would really like to see that kind of rule put in place, but my guess is that it's not going to be there if the justices themselves make the rules.
And Karen, we know that they're coming up with the code, but we have not seen the code, correct?
We haven't, but you know, my guess is there's going to be some transparency, better transparency when it comes to disclosing gifts and those types of things. Maybe some more information about potential conflicts of interest, like, you know, what you are required to report, like, yes, I have this person who's coming before me. It's related to a donor who's given me X, Y, and Z. So I think those are the kinds of provisions that we might see in this code.
According to a Gallup poll that was conducted last month, the public trust in and the approval of the court is at near record lows. And it all has to do with the expensive trips they're taking and the book tours they're promoting. And it just doesn't seem like it would fly in any business, and it shouldn't be happening at the level of the Supreme Court.
No, especially at the level of the Supreme Court. But I do think, just to be fair, it's not just that, but it's also the fact that we've had a bunch of things stricken down. I mean, we had Roe versus Wade stricken down, affirmative action. All of these things have been in place for decades. And when you see a court reverse itself, people don't have confidence in the integrity of the court because they think, wow, the high court of the land said this is a woman's right to choose. And now why is that changing? That really shakes the confidence of the public.
And when Dick Durbin brought that forward, that's what people were saying. You just don't like that they eliminated Roe v. Wade. And so this is why people are saying they're not ethical. But it seems like it goes way beyond that.
It goes beyond that. And if it were the other way, I think the other people would be saying the same thing. Again, you know, the law is supposed to be just, and it's supposed to be consistent, and case precedent is what everything is based upon. What did we say in the past? And again, changing that reality does not sit well with people.
Thank you so much for joining us, Karen.
Take care, Lisa.
Karen Conti, partner at Conti and Dolan. Steve's News comes up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
WGN.